Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Why do we self-sabotage? There are a lot of reasons, but I'm going to tell you what I think. Welcome back to the Anxious Therapist Podcast. My name is Jacqueline and I am your host. I'm a licensed mental health therapist, life coach, and I have my own mental health struggles too. I'm here to remind you that we are never alone. And today's episode is no different. Are you ready? Let's do this. I have been pondering this topic for a few weeks now, and I finally feel ready to tackle it with you. I've done episodes on this in the past, but I think that my beliefs around self-sabotage have changed a little bit the more I've learned and grown and been self-reflective of my own self-sabotaging behaviors. And I want to share with you what I've come up with. So first, before we get into that, I want to give you some examples of self-sabotaging behaviors. We often see this show up with things like needing to be perfect, procrastinating, substance abuse, a desire to be in control, blaming others, negative self-talk, gaslighting, perfectionism, overindulgence, holding grudges, initiating conflicts. These are all self-sabotaging behaviors, and the list goes on. We do these things first and foremost because we're human. Self-sabotaging is a very normal human response. So I tell you that because I want you to know you're definitely not alone in this. And a lot of people, a lot of experts would tell you that this is at the root of low self-esteem. You do this because you don't respect yourself enough to follow through on the things that you said were important to you. So a lot of people would promote the idea that if you boost your self-esteem, if you feel better about yourself, you'll have higher self-respect and be more inclined to follow through on the things that you said you were going to do. And while I think that is partially true, I can't help but pay attention to the impact childhood trauma likely has on your self-sabotaging behaviors. As I've told you countless times, your brain is wired to stay the same. It does not like change. It fears it because anything that's different feels potentially threatening. And so somewhere in your childhood, you probably got used to running late because your parent was always late, or substance abuse and using it as a coping mechanism because that's what you saw in your environment. Or you became a people pleaser, a perfectionist to try and appease your caregivers and account for some of the chaos that was going on in your life, right? And we've talked about all of those things so often. And so I hope you know what that looks like for you, right? What are some of those trauma responses that you have, and how can we connect that to self-sabotage? These things are happening because your brain doesn't want to change. It adapted to life at a young age as a result of maybe your genetics and or your environment, and you saying, I want to do things differently, sends up a big red flag for your brain. It feels fearful of that because it doesn't know what to expect. It feels like that could be a potential threat to your safety, and your brain's only job is to keep you alive. And so it's going to resist and push back on that. And that's why on Monday mornings when you say, I'm going to work out today and I'm going to eat healthy and I'm going to stop drinking soda and I'm going to go to bed early, only for 6-7 o'clock at night to roll around and you're binge eating ice cream and you're watching TV and you're staying up too late and feeling like absolute crap the next morning and feeling disappointed in yourself. We see this in, I need to stop drinking. I need to get my substance use under control. And then saying, I'm only going to drink on Friday and Saturdays. And then we find out that, well, Thursday was stressful, so I just had a couple. Or I binge drink on Fridays and Saturdays because it feels like it's the only time I'm going to be able to drink during the week. And I need an outlet to, quote unquote, let loose, right? It's the only thing that helps me unwind and relax. And so can you hear what I'm doing? How easy it is to justify these things. To tell yourself, well, I had a hard day, so. Well, there's always tomorrow, so. And the justification is your brain's way of staying the same, of not making those big, scary changes. And so when we think about self-sabotage and this conundrum, it's a cycle. It's repetitive, it's redundant, and that feels safe for your brain. It's just going to repeat what it knows, because so far what it knows has kept you alive. Even if you are uncomfortable in your body, or you are always running late to appointments and procrastinating on projects at work. And I see this often with therapy clients. We'll be in a session. They'll be talking about, let's say, their romantic partner and some changes that they want to make, some boundaries they want to set in the relationship. And while we're in the session, they feel super empowered. They're like, yes, I can have that conversation. I can tell my husband A, B, and C, or I can talk to my wife about that. And I think we could make some changes together. And then the next week rolls around and I say, hey, how did that conversation go? Have you been setting those boundaries and maintaining them? Well, you know, we didn't really talk about it. I was kind of thinking, and at this point, I just stopped them. And I'll just say, hold on a second. And then we'll just look at each other. And then they'll start laughing every single time. And they're like, I know. I'm doing it again. And it's a cycle. And it's a pattern of behavior. Because you got out of that session. I wasn't in your ear anymore. And your brain started taking over instead. That automatic thought, rather than the intentional, purposeful, aware thought that we were just having in our conversation. That justification takes over, and it's, let's say, your partner's not working right now, but you both know that they need to get a job, and so they're constantly coming to you saying, hey, can you buy this and can you buy that, because you're the primary breadwinner, but your funds are getting tight because you pay all the bills. And now your partner's coming to you asking for all this money. Hey, I need this. I need that. Can you buy this for me? And you're starting to feel uncomfortable because you're like, well, I'm providing for us and I'm trying to take care of us, but we also have these responsibilities. And I need my partner to get a job. I need my partner to also provide. We can't be a single income household. Okay, so when you are in our session and we're talking about it and you feel really empowered to go home and have this conversation and set some boundaries about your spending and create a budget. But then life happens and your partner comes back to the conversation and says, yeah, well, I need new tires on my car. I can't help it. Or I need groceries, or I need cigarettes, or I need A, B, or C thing. And all of a sudden, your boundaries, your expectations for creating a budget, it's all gone out the window. It happens so quickly. I was the queen of self-sabotage when it came to alcohol, when it came to my nutrition. And 3 years ago, when I got sober for real, because I was pregnant and that was the catalyst for me getting sober, I felt like a weight had been lifted. Being pregnant and not being able to drink because I was pregnant felt like the permission slip I needed to finally make this a reality in my life. I finally could get sober without saying, oh, for now, it was like, no, I'm pregnant. I can't. This is like going to be 9-10 months of my life and then beyond, because a lot of people, you know, have a drink after they've given birth or whatever, and they look forward to having that glass of wine or whatever again. But I knew as long as I was breastfeeding, I was not going to be consuming any alcohol. And so I knew I had bought myself probably a good year and a half to not even think about alcohol, get it off of my radar. And then once I had made it that long, it was like, why would I go back? And now I'm experiencing the same thing as I'm working with a functional medicine doctor to improve my PMDD symptoms, premenstrual dysphoric disorder. I am thinking about this elimination diet that I've been doing for the past couple of weeks that she has me on, and how not having beef or eggs or dairy or gluten, I've been able to improve my sleep immensely. I literally have sleep scores in the 90s every single night. I don't have an afternoon crash anymore. I feel satiated and full. I don't binge eat. My meals are well balanced and colorful. I feel energized and rejuvenated. I actually feel nourished. I'm not mindlessly snacking. In fact, I don't do snacks at all during this elimination diet. I eat 3 meals a day. I do a smoothie for breakfast, and then I have lunch and dinner, and that's it. And it's been so eye-opening for me because I fought it for so long. As someone who spent a good majority of her life in the diet culture industry, I am finding that this idea, this notion that you can have things balance, it's all about balance, right? And I would tell myself, oh, I'm just following like the 80-20 rule. Like 80% of the time I'm eating like nutrient dense, really healthy, whatever, quote unquote, healthy foods. And the other 20% of the time I can just fuck off. Like I can have sugar and candy and ice cream. I can have chips and dip, and it doesn't matter. Well, it's really hard to track that 80-20 for me. I was like probably 50-50. To be completely honest. And I felt like crap. And so it's so interesting that my brain is so hesitant. I'm still very resistant, because in 2 weeks, we'll start adding foods back in, foods that I'm curious about. Like, do I have a gluten intolerance, right? Where we cut out foods to see what was so inflammatory, because that inflammation was worsening my PMDD symptoms. You know, not only am I carrying excess weight despite exercising every single day and, you know, eating my veggies and fruits and stuff, I was still just, you know, really struggling with a lot of bloating and inflammation and the discomfort that came from that as my PMS week would roll around every month. And so we're exploring that. And as we're talking about adding foods in, I was kind of like, why would I? Like, why would I be so eager to start eating sugar again? Why would I be so eager to stop eating just 3 meals a day and go back to being a habitual snacker when it was literally making me miserable? I was miserable 10 days out of the month when it was my PMDD week. But even then, outside of that, those 10 days, I was still the afternoon crash and sleep scores between 40 and 60 every night, not getting any deep sleep and really just struggling, right? So like, why would I be eager to go back to that? Well, because my brain has this neural pathway formed for sameness, for food freedom, eat whatever you want, don't restrict. It's telling me you can't go back to those restrictive ways. And am I saying I'll never have pizza again or ice cream or brownies? Or hell no. But now I'm looking at, how can I make some adjustments? How can I make those things from scratch? We already started talking about my love for baking, and she's turning me on to flour that is actually like what you would see in Italy. Have you ever known someone who traveled to Italy and said, I have celiacs, but there I can eat pasta, I can eat bread, and it doesn't make me sick? Well, that's because our food is shit in the U.S. and it's robbed of so much of its nutrients, and it's processed in ways where other things are being added to it and all the good things are being taken out. I mean, it's just an absolute atrocity. But I digress, because that is not the point of this episode. It's just another thing that's really been on my radar lately. And so I'm going to finish this elimination diet in a couple of weeks, and it'd be really easy to self-sabotage, to just go back to the way things were, because I'm already having permission-giving thoughts. Well, you did it for 4 weeks. You know that it works. So maybe just during your PMS week, you cut out sugar and you cut out gluten. Or maybe you just do it periodically, right? And you try to maintain some of those good habits. But for the most part, you just kind of go back to the way things were. And I'm like, what is happening? Why am I already having these permission-giving thoughts? Why am I already justifying something that I know is not good for me? That self-sabotage. My brain just wants to go back to the way things were because that feels safest. My childhood trauma, my brain becoming hyper-vigilant and overly sensitive to potential threats has made this very difficult for me to follow through on the things that I say are important to me, because it's very quick to come up with justifications as to why I can't do those things. And every single day I have to actively and consciously fight back against that. I have to challenge myself and say, what's really important to me? And occasionally, there are going to be times where what's really important to me today is being joyful and present. So like, since I've been on this elimination diet, for example, my toddler wanted to make, he was watching like Paw Patrol or Pupstruction or something. I don't know. One of those cute little shows. And they were making pupcakes. And so he asked me to make pupcakes. So we made mini cupcakes. I did not taste the frosting. I did not eat a cupcake. I didn't even lick my finger as we were like making them. Not a drop. Because I'm sticking to this elimination diet wholeheartedly, 100%. But I still got to be present and help him bake these cupcakes that he wanted. And so there's going to be moments where I'm like, I don't even fucking like cupcakes, y'all. So like, but in the past, I would have been like, we're making them. This is fun. Da, da, da. Let me just have some with him. Let me lick the frosting bowl. Right? I don't even like those. So, but I was literally just self-sabotaging because it was in front of me. And it felt like the right thing to do. But when I tell you, I felt so empowered that I could do that with him and stay true to my goals and what felt good for me, it was amazing. And will there also be days where it's their birthday and we go out and we eat ice cream or whatever and I do choose to indulge? Absolutely. But I can tell you one thing, it's going to be done mindfully. Because I'm learning so much about my habits right now while doing this. How many times my son will be eating Goldfish or Cheez-Its or sour cream and onion chips. And I would have just had a handful because he had them out. Not because I was hungry. Not because it sounded good. But literally just because it was there. We're obsessed with that instant gratification. Right? The instant gratification of this is really yummy and I want to have some. I want this season of my life to be about delayed gratification. I'm channeling the future version of myself who is obsessed with nourishing and nurturing herself, who is much more mindful about the decisions that she makes and how it impacts her physical health, her mental health. I'm literally pulling energy from that wiser, more matured version of myself. Because I know I'm going to get there. I just have to get out of my own way first. My mental health has interfered with my decision-making abilities my entire life. And I've only become aware of it in the last few years. And so now I have this conscious awareness and I'm able to implement and make necessary changes to feel empowered and proud of the choices that I'm making for myself. What is the point of promoting wellness and being a voice and a face of healing if I'm not leading by example? And that's truly how I feel. I've done years of the deep therapy, the processing, figuring out why I am the way that I am, healing from my triggers. I have very few trauma triggers now, and nothing that debilitates me anymore to the point of like panic attacks or social isolation and withdrawing. I don't experience that anymore. I don't experience the depressive episodes. I have healed so much of my mental health. And now I'm really focused on the way my hormones are impacting me and my gut health and the connection between those two things. And I'm ready to be done self-sabotaging. I know the struggle. I know what it feels like. And I can safely speak to my brain and with kindness and compassion and say, hey, brain, we're okay. This change is good. I like this. I'm enjoying this. And this elimination diet is extreme, but in other ways, I'm starting really small. I'm still eating a lot of the same foods that feel comfortable to me, but instead of beef, I have ground turkey. And instead of pasta, I have rice. And instead of bread and eggs for breakfast, I have a protein-packed smoothie, right? Like, I'm making all of these changes and adjustments slowly. When I wake up in the morning, I've just started taking 5 very slow, intentional, deep breaths before I even look at my phone. Just grounding myself, doing a short mindfulness meditation on my own, those first 5 breaths of the day, so that I can set myself up for success. These are small changes. And if you're a self-sabotager, first you have to identify why this became a defense mechanism for you. What is it that you're doing? How is this attached to previous experiences you've had in your life, probably in your childhood? And then from there, really digging into what's important to you. Why do you want to make changes? Why do you want to stop self-sabotaging? How can you make a more conscious effort to see it through? What's going to motivate you to make these changes? Like, why do you really want it? Who can you be accountable to? Who can you talk to about this journey? Right? Like, so much of my own personal growth, you know, we've talked a lot about addiction and food in this episode, but self-sabotaging is also like picking fights with my husband. Like, when there hasn't been anything bad going on, it's finding things to get upset with him about, because I grew up in environments where there was a lot of conflict. And I know that I crave the connection that comes with repair, the reassurance that comes with the repair, you know, getting back on the same page. And so sometimes I will stop myself, or my husband will stop me, and we'll have that open and honest conversation that feels very vulnerable, because it's like, I think I'm searching for something. I think I'm literally just trying to create a problem because I want to connect with you. So let's skip the conflict and the problem part of it and jump right to the repair and the connection. What do I actually need? I need some quality time. Maybe I need some physical affection. Maybe I need some time out of the house with you, right? Like, that is also self-sabotaging behaviors, even when it impacts your relationships. And so first we have to gain that insight and understanding as to why we're doing this. And lucky for you, that's where I come in. I do offer life coaching services, and I would be honored and humbled to explore this topic with you. It's near and dear to my heart. I have a lot of personal experience with it, and I always like to say I'm just one step ahead of you, right? Like, I'm exploring and learning this and implementing these things right alongside of you. So let's do this together. If you're interested, you can always reach out to me on Instagram at The Anxious Therapist, or, I don't know, send me an email, comment on this post, whatever, snail mail, whatever you got to do. Okay. I would love to work with you. I work with people from all over the world, and it would be an honor to hold safe space for you. I love doing life with y'all. This is so fun. Thank you for holding space for open and honest and vulnerable conversations. It is the honor of my life to witness your healing journey, and I love when you reach out and share what's going on with you. So thank you for letting me be a small part of your journey, and I can't wait to see you in the next episode.